mean, what does the smear show here? Like, what are you seeing there? Those cells just look pale, don't they? So,
So is it just C?
yeah, so gastrointestinal blood loss.
Oh, okay. I was like literally overthinking
Look, you have a 72-year-old man who's otherwise
it.
asymptomatic. He's just had fatigue. This is so common. Elderly
Right.
fatigue, low hemoglobin, but his leukocyte count is platelets are normal, right? So you have to think about colonic, like rectal blood loss. The red flag being obviously colorectal cancer. That's your huge red flag in an elderly patient with fatigue. You have to think about colorectal cancer, but in reality, the most common cause of bleeding per rectum in elderly is just diverticular bleed. But this guy would need a colonoscopy. Like they ask you here, the answer is just gastrointestinal blood loss, but they could easily have, like, let's say, next best step in management. And apart from a full blood count,
Your colonoscopy.
investigation wise, he needs colonoscopy.
Yeah.
So diverticular bleed, colorectal cancer, angiodysplasia. In terms of your painless bleeding, you could get things like, UC, stuff like that, but you just need to be aware of those common causes. Angiodysplasia tends to be worse in people who have aortic stenosis. There's a question on one of the, I think it's one of the surgery forms now. They tell you elderly guy has an argument with his wife and he gets like worsening blood in his stool at that point. That's actually called HEYDI syndrome, HEYDE. Which is when you have aortic stenosis plus angiodysplasia. I don't know why, but something to do with increased pressure on the vessels and the colon can precipitate angiodysplasia. So, high yield question here. Okay, high yield question. What did you say it was? Thalassemia? Look,
I was just like, I don't know why we said that.
beta thalassemia major in a 72 year
Major
old.
would be like a kid. Yeah, that's why I
Yes.
was like, I went back and I was like, wait, no,
So just
that's.
think about your demographics. Even if you're not sure
Yeah.
about the actual lab values and you're a little bit like, I don't know. Like, just think about your demographics. Like, for example, you're not gonna have fucking HIV in like an 82-year-old, most likely. So like you have to think about your demographics and like you're not gonna have diverticulitis in a 28-year-old woman. So a 72-year-old man, beta thalassemia major, really unlikely that he probably even would live that long. And you would see target cells in a smear. These are just pale. These are just cells with central pallor. What I can tell you, some tangential value I can provide is that for the USMLE, if this were a kid, let's say, and they want to differentiate iron deficiency from thalassemia, and it can be minor, it doesn't even have to be major. Major, they're going to be very symptomatic. Like they tend to give you questions with minor. So you can differentiate between iron deficiency. So apart from the smear that would show target cells in thalassemia, they want you to know the red cell distribution width is increased in iron deficiency and it's decreased in thalassemia. The cells are uniformly small in thalassemia due to the hemoglobin production problem, whereas you have a range of sizes due to the iron deficiency. So that would give you an increased RDW. Some cells are small from the iron deficiency. Some cells happen to get out into the blood just fine and they're normal size. And the other thing is in thalassemia, you're classically going to have a microcytic anemia despite having a normal ferritin level. That's classic. So you can have decreased serum iron in thalassemia as you would in iron deficiency. And you have a microcytic anemia as you do in iron deficiency, but you'll notice the ferritin's normal. They like asking that in obs-gyn questions, actually. Like they'll give you a pregnant woman who has not responded to iron supplementation. They'll tell you like her hemoglobin was a bit low. Like pregnant women are scrutinized for their bloods. Her iron levels were a bit low. She started on, just standard pregnancy vitamins, including iron, 3 weeks later. Her iron is still low, but her ferritin is normal, and she still has a microcytic anemia. So that's thalassemia. And you do hemoglobin electrophoresis to diagnose thalassemia. They want you to know that. And if you see an increase in HbA2, which is alpha-2, delta-2, that's beta thalassemia. That's high yield. Like, you know how, for example, some questions like sarcoidosis, like the last, it'll give you a paragraph and the last line's like, by the way, there's bihilar lymphadenopathy, chest x-ray. Thalassemia, they'll give you like a paragraph and then the last sentence will be like, oh, and by the way, HbA2 on hemoglobin electrophoresis is 6% and that's, it's elevated. So they're just telling you that that's thalassemia, beta thalassemia.
Okay.
What's the cause of CML? Choice B.
The cause of CML is this BCR-ABL?
So, correct. So, Philadelphia chromosome 922,
mm-hmm.
right? And how do you treat it?
You give, if I start, I would know it. It starts with a T. Right?
It does not start with a T. It's imatinib.
Okay, wait, no. Okay, darn.
I gave you a shot. It's imatinib.
I knew
T,
it.
T might be like trastuzumab for breast cancer or something. Or tacrolimus for immunosuppression.
Mm.
Right? Ticagrelor, ticlopidine, antiplatelet agents.
Mm-hmm.
But imatinib is how you treat CML, and it causes fluid retention, edema. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay, and then as we said, aplastic anemia, choice A, aplastic anemia, they really love viral infection causing it, and all your cell lines are going to be down. That's how you know it's aplastic anemia. And they just want straight up, as your next best step, aspiration of the bone marrow. Sounds too invasive. It's not. It's the answer. And here's a really good one. This is going to get you points right now. If they tell you a patient has lupus and that the cell lines are down, like all three cell lines are down, the answer is increased peripheral destruction, not bone marrow deficiency or bone marrow production problem. So in lupus, they get antibodies against their hematologic cell lines. So in lupus, you can get thrombocytopenia, you can get leukopenia, but if all three cell lines are down, you're like, oh, aplastic anemia, bone marrow problem. It's not. It's actually just antibodies. Whereas if it's something like but if it's parvovirus B19 or hepatitis A, as we were talking about, that's actually a bone marrow production problem.
Okay.
That's really high yield for step two, that like that differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's like there's Fanconi anemia, which is just usually Ashkenazi Jews, autosomal recessive, but and that presents with hypoplastic or aplastic thumbs or radius, mm-hmm. thumbs or radii. Diamond black fan anemia, not to get too off topic, but diamond black fan anemia is a pure RBC aplasia that presents with mm-hmm. triphalangeal thumbs. So students will learn that like Fanconi anemia is associated with aplastic thumb or radius. They like learn it. It's like this cool new factoid. And then I remember like in UWorld step three QBank that they had a question. They said there was like a kid who had decreased RBCs, but he had triphalangeal thumb. And the answer was diamond black fan. You get triphalangeal thumbs. Mm-hmm.